Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, today we are starting a new teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause a person to backslide into sin. Therefore, this teaching is designed to explain in detail why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge you are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly, whereupon guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His Holy Word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His Word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, which we will start today. Part 1, the prayer of agreement. Part 2, petition prayer. Part 3, intercessory prayer. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying gives us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible translation, unless otherwise stated. Let's begin with the introduction. Introduction. Our godly prayers or words are the effective weapon. Again, the effective weapon against Satan, his demonic angels, and evil assignments. Whatever we are saying over our life situations, the life of our loved ones, or the world in general, is what will take place or manifest in this earth realm. Our words create life or death. And the good news is that we are responsible for it all. Listener, why is this good news? Because we alone control what we say and what words we use regarding our life. And more importantly, we can make our words line up with God's word if we choose to. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, one verse, verse 19. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 16, 19 says, I, Jesus, will give you the keys, authority, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Family, this is very important when it comes to our prayer life and our words in general. So I want to key in on a couple of phrases that we must come to understand if we want our words to line up with the Word of God. It says at the very top of this verse, I, Jesus, will give you the keys, authority of the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on to say, we do the binding and we do the loosing. So, family, I have two important questions for you at this time. I'm going to start with question number one. When did Jesus give us the keys or authority of the kingdom of heaven? Family, I'm here to tell you, when we received the gift of salvation in Jesus, we received the authority to operate in this earth realm with the power, dominion of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Question number two. How do we bind and loose on earth so that our earthly transactions are honored in heaven? Answer, we bind and loose by our words. We cannot tie up Satan physically, but when we speak God's word, his promises over the challenges of life, we are literally forbidding Satan from stealing, killing, and destroying us. In like manner, when we loose or speak God's word, his promises, we are permitting the blessings that were provided to us by Jesus to come upon us. Oh, family, this is good news. Good news, good news, good news. I want to give you my definition for the word prayer. In this study, I will be using a pure and simple definition for the word prayer to mean talking to our Heavenly Father. When we pray, we are talking to our Heavenly Father. And we will find out through this biblical study that God tells us to pray without ceasing. In other words, we should pray and ask God to direct our actions on the little and big issues of life. The primary reason we want to ask our Heavenly Father for help is because he knows the end at the beginning. And he not only knows what is best for us, but he is able to see through Satan's deceptions that are designed to keep us from succeeding in life. Family, in case you do not already know, we are in a spiritual warfare that never ends. And our arch enemy, Satan, who is a demonic spirit, does not sleep or tire. Let's read John 10:10 and then John 10 verses 27 through 30. I want you to hear what Jesus says about the thief, Satan. It is very clear what his purpose is. And then I want you to hear from Jesus' own words where his sheep, his followers, his believers, the children of the Most High God, where we stand with regards to Satan, his demonic forces, and evil assignments. John 10:10 says, the thief, Satan, comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Let's drop down to verse 27 through 30. Verse 27 says, the sheep, referring to Christians that are my own, hear my voice and listen to me. I, Jesus, know them and they follow me. Verse 28. And I, Jesus, give them eternal life, and they will never, ever, by any means, perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Verse 28, my Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Last verse, verse 30, and I and the Father are one in essence and nature. Family, we're going to have to understand who we are in Christ. And based on these scriptures, we don't have an excuse for failure. We are victorious in Jesus. Let's start with verse 10. I want to highlight a few key phrases. First of all, the thief, who is identified as Satan, has only one purpose, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, there is nothing good in Satan, and he wants us to be defeated, not just in this earth realm, but for all eternity. But Jesus is very clear in verse 10 as to the purpose of him coming to the earth. He said he came so that we would enjoy life and have it in abundance, full and overflowing. That is something to shout about. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have an abundant, full, and overflowing life. That is good news. Then verse 27 says that Jesus' sheep, or us Christians, we are not only his, but we hear his voice and we listen to him. So that means that not only do we hear the word of God, but we obey the word of God. And it goes on to say Jesus knows us and we follow him. That is a key point for us Christians. Some of us Christians are not doing our due diligence in following the word of God. And as a result, we are paying with stealing, killing, and destroying that is brought on because of disobedience. Verse 28, it says Jesus came to give us eternal life, and we will never by any means perish. Good news, good news. Verse 29, it says that because we belong to Jesus and our Heavenly Father is greater and mightier than them all, including Satan, his demonic forces and evil assignments, it says we will not be snatched from the Father's hand. We are protected and we have provisions, and no one or no thing can take them away from us if we are obedient to the word of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That should give us comfort, family, that we have a living God, a Heavenly Father, who has provided us protection and provisions, and that he has made sure that we have authority to keep Satan under our feet. Let's continue. Let's go to John chapter 16, one verse, verse 33. Jesus is still speaking. John 16, 33. It says, I, Jesus, have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation, pressure, and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I, Jesus, have overcome the world. My quest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Again, let me point out some key items. At the very top of this verse, it says that Jesus is speaking and he's telling us that we are going to have perfect peace. Not the kind of peace we get in this earth, you know, where it's dependent on certain things or who's in power or who is not in power. But with Jesus, the salvation package, we have perfect peace. Then it goes on to tell us and warn us that there's going to be times where we're going to be tested, tried. There will be tribulations. There will be pressure. There will be distress. There will be suffering. But the good news is that Jesus has overcome all of it. And as a result that Jesus abides in us, we are overcomers as well. We don't have to be fearful. We don't need to be stressed out. We don't need to follow the world. We need to find out what God's word says and then apply it to the circumstance. It says, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Amen. This is good news for God's people. The war has been fought, and the victor is Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. What Christians must do on a daily basis is study and then apply the promises recorded in the Holy Bible by living according to God's word. When God's children choose to live according to his word, the spiritual warfare that Satan brings against mankind will not prevail. Satan is hoping that Christians will not find out that he is defeated and that the good fight we are in is already settled in heaven and earth. Whereupon, he can continue to deceive us into accepting his temptations, trials, and tests to our demise. Therefore, I want to share with you the following three biblical principles that we must understand when waging a successful spiritual battle against Satan. Family, these three key principles or truths must be understood so that we can live that victorious life that Jesus paid for with his precious life and blood. When we come to understand these foundational truths or principles, we will stand firm on God's word, and we will cast Satan directly where he belongs, under our feet. Principle number one, the battle is God's, not ours. I want to repeat that. The battle is God's, not ours. Remember, we are only vessels that God operates through with our permission. Let's go to Jonah chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. Jonah 2, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish and said, I called out of my trouble and distress to the Lord, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or hell, I cried out for help, and you, God, heard my voice. You know, we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again that when we miss the mark, when we fall and find ourselves in a distressed situation, God still loves us. He still wants the best for us. We just have to remember to call on him, the living God, our Heavenly Father. Now, for those of you who have read the book of Jonah, know that this was a man who was called of God to go to give the good news to a particular group of people, and he did not want to go. For those of you who have studied it out, know that this particular group of people were very wicked, and Jonah did not want to go, probably out of fear, because these people would have probably tried to kill him. This is what was in his mind. But God had a plan and purpose for Jonah, and he loves his people so much that he wanted to give this group of people an opportunity to change their evil ways. So he sent, or attempted to send, Jonah to do so. Now, we know that the final outcome was that Jonah did what he was called to do. But before he submitted to God, he tried to hide. He tried to get away from the Lord God, and in his attempt to get away, he was swallowed by a great fish. In other words, God got his attention, and in that midst of the stomach of the fish, he said, you know what? I need to call out to my Heavenly Father. I need to be saved from this situation and do what God has called me to do. So it says in verse number one, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. That's what we have to do, family. when we find ourselves in a situation, we need to call out to the Heavenly Father, ask for help in the time of need. And then in verse 2, it says that in that belly, in that hell that he found himself in, he cried for help and God heard his voice. And I'm here to tell you that that's the same today, family. When we find ourselves in situations, we need to call on the name of Jesus and get help in the time of need. Let's continue with Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah is speaking. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Oh, family, God is looking for his people. People who are bold in the things of God, who know who they are in Jesus Christ, who he can send to save the people of this world. We need to get the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. But it takes mighty men and women of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who will operate according to God's will and do the work that God has given us to do. One of the main things that God has his children do, based on the Great Commission that's recorded in the book of Mark, is to go to all the world, all the people, all far ends of the world, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. People are dying daily, family, and we need men and women of God who are bold, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who will share the uncompromising word of God so that we can make those changes that need to be made, that everyone will come to know and hear the word of God and receive the gift of salvation. That's the purpose of the church today, and we need to get on our job. Let's go to Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to drop down to verse 5 and 6. Psalm 18, chapter 1, starting with verse 1, says, "I love you fervently and devotedly, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my security, my fortress, and the one who rescues me. My God, my rock and strength, in whom I trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my stronghold." Drop down to verse 3. "I called upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Verse 5. "The cords of Shiloh, the netherworld, the place of the dead, surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me." Last verse, verse 6. "In my distress, when I seemed surrounded, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He, God, heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help came before him into his very ears." Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us the privilege to call upon you in the name of Jesus to help us in times of need. Let's look at verse 2 once again. I want to repeat this because this is how we should see our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my security, my fortress, the one who rescues me." That's the kind of confidence we should have in our Father, that no matter what is going on in the earth realm, no matter who is in power, no matter what is happening in my family, that God is there. He is my strength. He is the one that will take care of me in the time of need. It says, "My God, my rock and strength, in whom I trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my stronghold." If we can remember those words, family, in the times, the good times and the bad times, we will never get confused, worried, anxious, stressed out. But we will stand on what God has promised us, and we will seek him out. Instead of false information, we will seek the truth. Then it goes on in verse 3, it says, I called upon the Lord. That's what we do, family. When we are in prayer, we're calling on the Lord to give us assistance, to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us, to show us the way. It says, and I am saved from my enemies. I don't care who or what comes against you. You got the victory in Jesus. So don't allow Satan to try to put you in a state where you are confused or worried and appears that the situation is hopeless. Not so in Jesus. And then it says in verse 5 at the bottom, it says, the snares of death confronted me. It says, but in my distress, when I seemed surrounded, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. God heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help came before him into his very ears. Family, this is something to shout about, that our words reach the ears of God. And we know that if God hears us, we shall have the petitions we are requesting. Amen. Family, I'm so sorry. My time is up. Please come back next week as we continue our new teaching titled The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.